Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I am your host, Pastor Scott Morton. We'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2, and we'll be looking at verse number 17, which says, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire." And we've been looking for the last couple of episodes at this verse, and we're spending some time with the issue of this endeavor that Paul, Silas, and Timothy were speaking about that they were going to be undertaking. And the issue of this endeavor is what we're going to be looking at today, is that they were really wanted to see your face with great desire. So we see here this desire that they had to be able to see these members of the body of Christ face to face again. And throughout Paul's epistles, you see how he has this desire to be around those that share this faith that he has been given to preach, and how when he is around these people, you see his, you know, just everything about him is in the right place. And he even has this thought process, even for those that he has never actually met face to face. And we see that, for example, if we go over to Romans chapter number 1, to where we'll see the Apostle Paul speaking to these saints who are in Rome, and how he actually talks about this desire that he has to be around them. And when we look at this, we're here in Romans chapter number 1. We're going to start here in verse number 8 and read down through verse number 11. It says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established." And so here we have Paul in verse number 8 talking about how he thanks for the fact that their faith has been spoken of throughout the whole world, and how once they had put their trust in the gospel message which was given to the Apostle Paul, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and someone putting their trust in that and that alone is what gives someone salvation today, and how these individuals that he's writing to in Rome had put their trust in this message, and the end result of it was that their faith was spoken of throughout the whole world. Their faith in that gospel had an impact on them to the point of where their Christian walk, their Christian life was an example to all sorts of other individuals who could be able to see what was going on as a result of them hearing this message and it having an impact on them. Now, these are people Paul's never seen, but you see how, as we get down to verse number 11, that he has a longing to come unto them. He has this great desire to be around these individuals, even though he's never met them, and the only thing that he knows about them is the fact that they have this faith. He knows that he has this, you know, that they are members of the body of Christ, and he has this desire to be around them, to have fellowship with these individuals. We can go over here to the book of Philippians. We'll go to chapter number 1 in the book of Philippians, and we'll see Paul say something very similar about these saints in Philippi here, about, you know, his desire to be around them. And here in Philippians chapter number 1, we're just going to read here verse number 8. It says, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ." And see, Paul, as he's writing this epistle unto the saints at Philippi, you see how he has this longing to be around them, to be fellowshipping with them. And you see, as he writes this epistle, you see how, you know, it talks about the joy that comes from the word, but there's also the idea of fellowship keeps getting brought up over and over again throughout this epistle, to the point of where, as he's speaking about these individuals and talking about how he has this longing for them, this longing is so great that he decides to do something about this. If we go over to chapter number 2 in this same epistle, we'll see how Paul's going to address this desire that he has to be around them, to this longing. And here in Philippians 2, we're going to read verse number 19. It says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy assuredly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state." So, as Paul's writing this and he goes, okay, I can't get out there myself, I'm going to send Timothy out there. The very next verse indicates how he's sending Timothy because there's no man like-minded who will naturally care for them. So he's saying, okay, if I can't be there, I'm going to send somebody that I trust that's going to function in the same way that I would with the members of the body of Christ. I'm going to send Timothy over to Philippi to find out what's going on with them, to minister unto these people. And then once he's done with it, he's going to come back to me and let me know exactly what's going on with these saints. And Paul's saying, this is what I'm going to do because I have this longing and I can't do it myself, but I'm going to make sure that I find out exactly what's going on with you. Now let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. And we'll see here in this chapter, he's going to continue, you know, where we've been looking at this longing and desire that he has to be here in Thessalonica. We're going to see he'll continue on mentioning some of these things in this epistle here. And here in chapter number 3, we're going to read verse number 6. It says, "But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you." So as Paul in chapter number 2 talks about how he has this desire to be there to see them face to face, he has this desire because Timothy's already come back from there. You know, they had to flee out of there because of the persecution. Timothy's gone back. He's seen how it is that these saints are continuing to function, that they're continuing to walk right according to the doctrine that's been given to the Apostle Paul, and that they have a good remembrance of all these things. They have this desire to see Paul, just like Paul has this same desire to see them. And the end result of this placement of having this desire to be among them, to see them again, if we skip down a few verses here in the chapter to verse number 10 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3, we see it says, "Night and day, praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." So we see how there's this this desire is so great that it's part of the prayer life of the Apostle Paul that he would get this opportunity to be back among them again, to be able to have this fellowship, to be able to impart the information that he wants them to have, but also to see how they're doing and just to be able to edify and exhort each other. You know, this is what comes about from seeing individuals face to face. And as Paul's talking about this, and here in this epistle, we can go over a couple more chapters here to chapter number 5, because we're going to see how Paul's going to describe that they should be have this warm greeting for each other. In verse number 26 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, it says, "Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss." Now, when you look at that, that's, you know, a cultural issue of the idea of that holy kiss. But the whole idea that the Apostle Paul is getting into is that there should be a warm greeting that occurs when the members of the body of Christ are seeing each other. You know, it should not just be a thing of like, "Hi, how you doing?" It should be a very warm greeting, because there should be that natural excitement of being around a member of the body of Christ, someone that we're going to be with for all of eternity in the heavenly places. And we see how Paul, even as his life is starting to, you know, wrap up here, and he's writing his last epistle, if we go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 4, and we see how Paul, as he's in prison, he knows that his time is short. He knows that he's going to be, you know, killed as a result of everything that he has done. As he's writing this epistle to Timothy to encourage him to be doing the right things according to the doctrine that's been laid out and to stand for this information, he's still talking about this desire to be around the other members of the body of Christ. You know, you see in verses 9 and 10 where he's actually naming the names of the individuals who've actually abandoned him and have abandoned the doctrine. And he's telling them about how they've loved this present world. They've forsaken him. But we see in verse number 11 where he's actually indicating something here when he says, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Now, when you look at this issue of speaking of Mark, and you read the end of Acts chapter number 15, you see how Paul at that point in time really had a very negative outlook on who Mark was and his faithfulness, having seen the fact that he had abandoned them at one point and said, "You know, I don't want this individual to be with us," causing such a sharp division between Paul and Barnabas that their ministry separates at that moment. We don't hear of Barnabas ever again in Paul's ministry at that point, but we see here at the end of Paul's ministry him indicating that Mark is profitable. Mark has done the right things. Mark has gotten himself in the position of where he is now standing for this, the truth of this information. He said, "You know, bring him. He's profitable. These other individuals that have abandoned me, you know, they're not profitable, but Mark, who's come back around and is doing the right things, he is profitable. Bring him so that way there can be this fellowship with Paul prior to his death." You know, and when you look at this, and you know, these are the things when you are looking at Paul and speaking of this desire that he has, you know, This is a big part of when we talk about the members of the body of Christ coming together as a local assembly to have this fellowship. And individuals, you know, sometimes they create these things of division, create ways to not have this fellowship. You know, now there's times where that should be done. Unfortunately, what man does is man takes the few times where it should be done, creates all these other things to create problems and say, well, you know what, I don't have anybody to fellowship with. And then they'll look around and say, well, you know, there's nowhere for me to go. And you know what, there's, you know, ways to really fix that if there truly is the situation of where somebody is in a place where, okay, there's nobody else around me that actually believes, you know, in what the Lord Jesus Christ did at the cross at Calvary, how they took care of the issue of sin according to the scriptures. You know, everything that's laid out in Paul's epistles is the doctrine for us today. And, you know, there's ways to fix it. You know, if there's, you know, people are not saved in your community, you know, it's the responsibility of the individual who does believe, who's an ambassador for Christ, who's been given that ministry of reconciliation, the responsibility is to go out and share the gospel, to be teaching this information to other people, so that way they can be saved. And then there's now a group of individuals who are the members of the body of Christ in that community. You know, that's the responsibility that individuals have. You know, if there's not a local assembly, after, you know, there's a number of people who do have that like-minded faith, then it's the responsibility of the individuals to start a ministry, start, you know, a local assembly to where individuals can get the truth of God's word rightly divided. You know, and there's a lot of tools and information that's out there to really help people be able to start up local assembly, because every community should have a local assembly for individuals to go to be able to have this fellowship, to be able to have the edification, to have the exhortation that comes from being around other members of the body. You know, there's, you know, things where, well, I can't be around this individual because they're teaching error. You know, they're teaching things that I don't agree with. You know, now there's ways to fix it, and the ways to fix it actually come from what the scriptures actually say. Now, we can go over, for example, into the book of Titus. Let's go to Titus chapter number 1 to see where, how Paul is actually going to speak about this idea of, you know, confronting these things of error, but doing it in a manner of which there's still this care for the individual who's the member of the body of Christ. And here in Titus chapter number 1, let's read here verse number 13. It says, "This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith." Now, I've seen individuals actually take this idea and say that rebuke them sharply means I'd be yelling and screaming at the individual and screaming about how wrong that they are, to the point of where the person who's doing this rebuking sharply is turning all sorts of shades of red and purple, and as a result of all this emotion that's coming out, you know, the things that they're actually saying to try to rebuke them sharply aren't even starting to line up with what the Word of God says. Now, the only thing that can actually rebuke someone sharply is the Word of God. You see how in Ephesians chapter number 6, when we're given and told to put on the armor of God, you see that there's only one weapon that we're given, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. over in the book of Hebrews, it talks about how the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the word of God which is actually going to work and rebuke someone. It's not going to be someone actually yelling and screaming at them, because most of the times when somebody is yelling and screaming at someone, the person who is being screamed at stops listening to everything that that person's saying, because they realize that it's more emotion than actual truth that's coming out of them. If we go over here in the book of Titus, we turn over to chapter number 3, we're going to see another point that's actually spoken of with this, and how we actually see that there's a responsibility that we have to keep doing this. When you see, and we're going to read verses 9, 10, and 11 of Titus chapter number 3. It says, "But avoid foolish questions and genealogy, contentions, and strivings about the law. They are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself." Now, in order to actually do a first and second admonition, this means that this has to be repeatedly discussed with the individual, giving them the time to be able to study out what the Word of God actually says, letting it have an impact on them, and continually having this discussion before you finally have to say, you know, enough is enough, and I'm going to have to actually, you know, say, you know, I can't have anything more to do with you. You know, what people do, well, as soon as I hear that someone's teaching the wrong thing, well, I can't have anything to do with them. Never had a discussion with them, but I'm going to stop having that fellowship. That's not the idea. The idea is I'm supposed to actually have multiple opportunities, having multiple discussions. You know, having this, you know, as Paul called, the desire to see someone face to face to be able to, you know, have these discussions. If we go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, we're going to see another thing that Paul says about this that's actually going to show again how this has to be done in this face-to-face discussion here. And in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, we're going to read verses 24 through 26. And it says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." And so you see how there's an issue of the person in meekness, because it's not, you know, man's wisdom that's giving them this thing of, you know, being able to recover. It's the wisdom coming from the Word of God that's going to help a person recover themselves from the snare of the devil. And they're taken captive because the devil's using the Word of God to trap them in that error. But it has to come from these discussions that are happening, the discussions happening face to face, to be able to have that fellowship around the world. And as Paul, he calls it a great desire. Now, you saw how when Paul talks about his opposition to what God was doing, he identifies it, you know, the zeal that he had, how he was zealous of the things opposed to God. And that same level of zeal that he had to do the things opposed to God is the same level of zeal that Paul has to do the things that God would have him to do in this dispensation, which includes the idea of having fellowship with the fellow members of the body of Christ. And, you know, today, you know, that's such an easy thing that people can try to avoid doing, because, you know, most ministries have a thing where, you know, we'll broadcast our messages, you know, live on Facebook, or, you know, we'll record them and put them, you know, somewhere, like, you know, on our website or somewhere else, and say, well, you know, we have all these things. Well, individuals and say, well, you know, I just don't feel like going today. And, you know, I can watch it on Facebook, and then the next week, well, I can watch it on Facebook. And before you know it, they just keep watching it on Facebook, and, you know, they're not coming to the local assembly. They're not having that fellowship. They're not having that desire to be around the members of the body of Christ. We should have that desire. You know, yes, those things are good to be able to help someone. You know, maybe the people who are stranded in places where they don't have a local assembly and they're trying to build one up. Or, you know, I really am very sick and I can't leave my house today, you know, and I can still hear the word of God. But, you know, I know next week when I feel better, I'll go and have that fellowship. You know, those are the things where, you know, those type of ministries are good. But when it becomes a point when it's taking someone away from that desire to be around the members of the body of Christ, it does become a very bad thing. And we should always have that desire to be around each other. Just as Paul talks about and calls it a great desire that he had. Now, in our next episode, we will actually start verse number 18 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we do have a number of study articles. We have charts to help you in your Bible study. We do have some audio files of our Sunday services, information about how to you either participate in our Sunday services through Facebook or be part of our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you ever have any questions, comments about anything on our website, anything in our broadcast, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting the good fight of faith, preaching this gospel to this lost and dying world.